Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. LaFosse Corporation, LLC.
Everyone looks for a muse, and little did I know that my muse was going to be so unexpected. I had no idea what was ahead of me. I was born and raised in LA and never really thought that I would ever leave it. But I'm a songwriter, and more I was going to Nashville. At the time, I had two boys at home and didn't like leaving them. So my husband Dave and I decided it would be good to move to Nashville. So I got a realtor. And after a couple days of being with a realtor, she said, "There's a really special house. It's on the historic register. And it was built in 1843. It's for sale, and I'd like you to see it." And when we walked in the front door, a feeling came over me that was just overwhelming. The house was alive. It had an energy. It was just a warm, good feeling. And my husband, Dave, felt the same way. So by the end of the day, we were making an offer on the house. The first night at the house, Dave and I still had the whole house to unpack. And I heard my son, Rye, calling me. I sensed in his voice that I needed to go to him right then and there. So I walk into his room, and I can see that Rye is very upset. He's very scared. And he said, "A little girl was here." She walked through the door, and she stood by my bed, and she just stood there looking at me.
"Mom, you have to come here."
And he put his arms around me really tightly, and I had no idea what to say to him other than, "It's just because it's a new place." But he was really shaken up. He was very scared. So I sat with Rye until he fell asleep. And I went downstairs and I told Dave the story. We both said we know Rye, and he just wouldn't make up a story like that. That gave Dave and myself a very uneasy feeling. As time went on, he got more and more afraid because he would see the little girl over and over again. And his fear would go away in the daytime. It was always when we'd put him to bed at night. I knew he wasn't making it up. I knew that he had seen something. I just didn't know what it was. One day, we got a tornado warning. And the sky, I will never forget, was Wizard of Oz green. And we had a storm cellar. This cellar was dark, it was cold, and it was a pretty scary place. Dave brought the weather radio, and they kept telling us minute by minute where the tornado was hitting. Fortunately, it wasn't coming even close. But Rye started shaking so hard. And he said, "I'm really scared again. I have the same feeling that I have at night when the little girl comes to my room. I'm trying to stay very calm and reassuring to him, but inside I'm thinking, what's here? What is happening?" That night, I put him to bed, and understandably, he was very afraid. So I sang to him until he fell asleep. Instead of getting up like every other night and walking out, I stayed on his bed, but I stayed awake. And all of a sudden, I felt chills up and down my whole body. After a moment, I see a little girl. She walked in the room, stood by the bed, and just stared down. She had on a dress with flowers on it, and she carried a doll. And I was really, really scared. When the little girl looked up and noticed that I was looking at her, she turned and disappeared right into the wall. She just vanished. I'm freaking out. I've never seen anything like this before. I then really knew Rye was not imagining any of this. I had just seen the exact little girl that he described. This was real. So I talked to Dave about it, and we felt like we needed to find out, why is this little girl here? Why is she coming to the room every night? We knew something is going on with this house. We don't know what, but somebody's here. A few nights later, my husband comes home and he brought a book and said, "You're not going to believe this." It was an old, faded red book about the history of the county we lived in, of Williamson County. And he opened it to a chapter that talked specifically about the history of our historical house. The house was built by Thomas Brown for his family, and there was a great tragedy that occurred. His granddaughter, who lived there, was very young, and she was on the upstairs balcony. And she fell over the railing and was killed. The ground was so hard because it was winter that they kept her body in the cellar till the ground thawed out, and then they buried her on the grounds. Dave and I both looked at each other and went, oh my gosh, that's got to be her. So we show Rye the book and we say, we have an explanation for this little girl that you're seeing. You're not making this up. You're not crazy. This is real. And she's just coming to visit you because she's not at peace yet. And he seemed okay with that. He understood the explanation. He didn't seem afraid. So I put him to bed. I went downstairs. I went to the piano. And I started writing a song. Songwriting can be hard work, coming up with the right lyrics, the right melody. But this song, that particular night, just felt like it was coming through me, and it was effortless. I couldn't write it fast enough. Started getting a feeling that this little girl was near me and she was the one helping me write. So I finished the song that night. The next morning, Rye comes down to breakfast, and I said, you know, how'd you sleep? How was your night? And he said, she didn't come. The little girl did not come to visit me. And every single night that I would write at the piano after I would put Rye to bed, she would not visit him. She wouldn't come. So the connection to me became really clear. If I write and play at the piano, she's going to be where I am. And if I don't, she's going to be in Rye's room. I just truly believed she was the reason. I was more prolific than I've ever been before in my life or since. There was so much music made in that house. It was amazing. We were there 7, 8 years, and we decided to put the house on the market. We were very torn because we were so attached to the house. Mainly, we wanted to be the ones to take care of it and take care of this little girl that had been so good to us. It was a gift. Living in that house with this little girl, with her spirit, was a gift.
Hi, this is Toby.
And Tony.
From Maine Afterlife Research Society, and you are listening to Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast with Aaron Hunter. All
of this is Welcome. I'm Aaron Hunter, purveyor of paranormal stories, the occult, and the unexplained. Welcome to RPA. I hope you enjoy your stay. Hey guys, Aaron here, and it is Monday, March 18th, 2024, episode 316. How's everyone out there around the world doing? And as always, glad to be back in the hot seat. As far as announcements are concerned, well, you know, I should have known better. I put out the fires last week because it was nice and warm over here, but seeing as this is March, it is cold. It's going to be cold all this week at night, easily close into the 20s, right around there, lower 30s. Yeah, so the fires are back. Yeah, it's chilly over here. As far as tomorrow, Tuesday, there will not be a new episode of Aaron's Horror Show. He's still busy with his books and everything else he's doing, but he'll be back. And, of course, a brand new episode of Terry's Mysterious Moments this Wednesday. And, of course, a new show on Thursdays is Strange Reality with Dave Emmons. And Friday, two new entertaining short films for your pleasure. And with that, yeah, short and sweet. Nothing much to mention, guys. So, you know what that means. We're going to do more listener stories, so say it with me. Say it with me. That's right. Two. The Story Den. Follow me right this way. No pushing, no shoving. And the fires are back. Nice and toasty in here. You guys know the deal. Grab a beanbag over there in the corner. Find an empty spot on the floor. And as you guys are doing that, get behind my desk here. Okay. I printed off Britt's packet. And let's see what stories she chose for us today. Okay. Well, looks like we have two short ones and a medium-sized one. All right. Let me take a sip of my green tea real quick. Oh, man. So good when it hits the lips. All right. The first one. This one is by Jess, and it's titled Christmas Guest. Okay, Jess. Let's see what you got, man. The conversation between my dad and I took place in 2000 when I was only 10 years old. I must be honest with you that I can't remember how it was brought up, but we began talking about my dad's uncle with giant ears. I told him, I know, I met him. He would give me the weirdest look and argue that I hadn't. I reminisced with him about his father's Christmas parties, and there was one in particular when I was 5. That I remembered a really old man with the biggest ears you've ever seen that would try to meet me. He would get real low to my level and put out his hand to try and shake mine. And he was all shaky, and I couldn't understand a thing that was coming out of his mouth. I remember being very frightened. My dad did recall that I was crying a lot that night, needing to be held more than usual. He said I would run and hide behind everyone's leg, but I seemed to be fine in just my great-grandmother's arms. I said, yeah, because I was trying to get away from the big-eared man. But his disbelief was much stronger since the man I had been describing to my dad had died 8 years before I was born. My dad was a skeptic for the most part when it comes to ghostly spirits. He swore that I had to have seen a picture of him or heard him talk about him, but it would just frustrate me that he or people would just disregard my memory that night of the shaky, big-eared man that mumbled, trying to meet me. But now my dad has passed, so I can only hope that he proves himself wrong and pays me a visit one day. I'm still waiting for that day to happen. 10 months later. And that's by Jess. Jess, thank you very much for sharing. Great story. I loved it. Yeah, this is a feel-good story to me. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool that, you know, you're describing this old man at a Christmas party, and it just so happens to be your, you know, your dad's brother, your uncle. And you couldn't understand him. He was mumbling. And he kept on trying to meet you. Huh. And you kept on running away. Kind of scared. Yeah, interesting stuff, but I liked it. Jess, thank you again for sharing. All right, what's next? What do we got?
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
This one is by Cole, and it's titled Dinner Show. Okay, Cole, let's see what you got, man. I have to give a little bit of background, if only to give some sort of perspective to our circumstances when this happened. At the time of this experience, I was attending a local college. I was living with my parents and attending classes part-time. About halfway through my time in school, my sister moved back home because she became pregnant and could no longer afford to live on her own. Fast forward to when my niece was around a year old. She's 3, almost 4 now. My family was sitting in our living room eating dinner. And she was sitting in her high chair eating and babbling away like children that age always do. Then, all of a sudden, She went quiet. I looked up from my plate to find her smiling at the ceiling. My dad was more focused on what was on TV than I was, so I elbowed him to get his attention. He looked up, and as all four of us were watching, my niece started to clap her hands and giggle, like she found whatever she was staring at highly amusing. Up until that point, I was okay with what was happening. All that mattered to me was that my niece was happy and didn't seem to be in any danger. However, there was a moment when I stopped being okay with what was happening, when my niece started reaching up, like she wanted whatever was above her to pick her up. The entire room gained a slightly sinister feeling, and we were forced to distract my niece and keep her distracted until the feeling faded, and she went back to eating. My sister thinks it might have been my grandfather, who died of cancer in the early 90s, stopping by to check on us. I'm not so sure that's what happened. This wasn't the last time something like this happened with my niece either. There are, to my knowledge, at least three more occasions of this happening. The dinner shows seemed to stop when she outgrew the high chair. However, when she turned two, the poor thing started to experience night terrors so bad we could hear her screaming and crying and very clearly saying, "No," all the way on the other side of the house. She still has them occasionally, though not as often as she used to. She used to have them every night. Now, she has them around once a month or so. Love, RPA. And that's from Cole. Cole, thank you very much for sharing. Loved it. Yeah, you know, you old-timers who are listening, you know what I'm going to say, right? Yeah, come on. Say it with me. Kids are creepy. Yeah, I said it. Well, think about it. They're brand new to the world. They don't know what danger is, and they don't know what should be happening and what shouldn't be happening. They just react to whatever's around them. Yeah, that's why I don't like this whole imaginary friend thing either. Yeah, it's just creepy. Yeah, that's interesting. The part near the end, I know she only turned two, you know, so she's out of her high chair. She's two now. Sounds like she's sleeping on her own and or somewhere in the house, but you hear her having waking up with these night terrors, these nightmares, and just screaming no. It's frightening her. So maybe this thing isn't as nice as you may think it is, you know, when it was grabbing her attention while she was in her high chair. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting stuff. But it sounds like the night terrors are going away, as you're saying here in the last part of the story, so I guess that's a good thing. Yeah, thank you very much, Cole. And what's next? What do we got? This one is by KP, and it's titled Grandparents' Farmhouse. Okay, KP, let's see what you got, man. Growing up, being taught there were no such thing as ghosts, Papa's house proved us all wrong. I was 17 when we moved into Papa's house. He had died about 3 years prior. I loved him and missed him dearly. I cried for years over him. It made it harder to deal with his death, looking at all his belongings and knowing he had lived there for over 50 years. My sister was 12 and my brother was 10. We all had our own rooms there. My sister chose my dad's old room, which she was excited about because we loved our dad. She slept there about 3 months, and suddenly she was downstairs sleeping on the couch. I asked why she didn't sleep in daddy's room. She flat out told me that she was going up the stairs and heard a man and a woman laughing in her room. We made fun of her and called her crazy. A few months later, I was in my room at the top of the stairs. I was putting my clothes away, and I heard a male voice say, "What are you doing here?" Now, my brother being a jokester and my dad never coming upstairs, I had my back to the door and told my brother to get out of my room. I turned around, and no one was there. I was scared. I threw my clothes on the floor, locked the door, and went to bed. I didn't move all night. I told my brother a few months later, and of course, I was labeled nuts like my sister. But my brother got his payback. A little while later, my brother and his friend were playing football in the side yard. They were at least 30 feet from each other. They heard a woman say, "What are you doing?" They both came inside and were quite terrified. They told me what happened and finally acknowledged what my sister and I had experienced was real. It took a long time, but I told my dad what happened. He never denied seeing or hearing things there. The most outstanding thing was that he saw a ghostly white horse run through the backyard when he was a boy. He told his parents, and they told him he was sick, that he needed to go to bed. I was so glad he understood us and didn't tease or make fun of us. My grandparents ran a train station right in front of the house in the late 1800s. The tracks were gone when my dad was a boy. And my sister said she smelled coal outside a lot. When Dad died, my mother turned all the utilities off in the house, such as the phone. My dad had his own phone because of the dial-up to the internet. I stood outside the window where he worked on the computer. The phone was turned off. I heard his phone ring. I went back in and checked for a dial tone. There was no sound at all. I thought maybe I heard the neighbor's phone. Months later, my mama had heard it, and my sister heard it too. We call it the ghost phone. My mom had to sell the house in 2010. It had been built by our family over 100 years ago. My siblings and I were devastated. The owners burned it down, but in my mind, it's still there, our childhood getaway. Jumping off the porch and exploring the yard. No one will ever burn that down. I still have a key on my key ring to the back door to the house. I call it the key to a ghost house. Keep reading people's stories. And that's by KP. KP, thank you very much for sharing. I loved it. Yeah, that's a great story. Interesting stuff. Yeah. Old grandpa's house. Yeah. Things are going on there. Interesting stuff. That's an old house. It's too bad that the new owners burned it down. Yeah, and your great-grandparents, they had a train station out in the front yard, huh? That's pretty cool. Yeah. And like I always say, it's always good to have other people that are witnessing these things. And yeah, it's funny how they don't believe it until, you know, something happens to them. You know, like your brother. You know, they're calling you guys nuts and all this and that. And, of course, you ask your dad, and your dad didn't make fun of you. He says, yeah, there's, you know, some weird stuff going on. You know, when he was a boy, he saw a ghostly horse run in the backyard. Interesting. Yeah, KP, thank you very much for sharing. And that's it, guys. That's all the stories. Yeah, short and sweet, but as always, I love your guys' stories. And with you new guys, if you want to send in your own paranormal experiences, just send it to Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at realparanormalactivity.com, and I'll read it off on a future episode. And I would just like to thank everyone out there. We're very flattered that you come and visit the RPA Network, and hopefully you're finding something that you like. We work very hard to provide you guys with some entertainment, either if you believe in the paranormal or not. Yeah, hopefully you guys are enjoying yourselves. And if you guys would like to support the network, become a premium member. And what you get with becoming a premium member is you get all the previous archived Monday RPA episodes, all the bonus episodes, the previous listener stories, the interviews, and over a little bit 33 audiobooks of folklore from cultures from around the world. $3.99 a month. Cancel anytime. And you can do that by going to the website, realparanormalactivity.com. There's going to be a big old button there that says Get Premium Access, and you set up your account through there. Also, get the free RPA app that we had built for you guys. Just go to your app store and do a search for Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast/network, and download it for free. Stream anytime, anywhere. Or if you're like everyone else, you're at work and you're listening to a streaming platform such as iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, etc., etc., we are probably on them. Just do a search for Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast, / network, and get your spook on if you get tired of listening to music. And so, with that, I am calling it. The show's been produced by myself and Britt, and it is also made possible by LaFosse Corporation, and man, we love you guys. Oh yeah, we do. As always, thank you, and good night.